Well, good morning. It is so great to be able to spend time saying hello to family and friends, and it's terrific that we're here together. And we are continuing down our series as we talk about magnifying the Lord. That's the word that sort of came to me as we started this year, that we are here to magnify the Lord. And we have to do that any way that we can find suit to go for. And so we're talking about that magnifying the Lord, though, we mentioned throughout our first few weeks, is going to take sacrifice. That it takes sacrifice in order for us to truly magnify the Lord. And that we have to be the lens through which people view God in this world, right? That we must be the lens through which the world views God. And they see God through us and through our actions and through everything that we do. And that's why our sort of, if you want to say our mission statement here, is to live the love of Jesus, right? To live it each and every day so that people can see Jesus' love through us and through everything that we do. And as we magnify the Lord, the whole idea is that we magnify the Lord, and by doing that, putting the focus on Him, that by that, naturally, our Saviors will be magnified, but also the impact that we have in this community will be magnified as well. And so that's our focus as we head into this series again today. And the whole idea we've said is this, that He must increase and that we must decrease. Now that seems easy when we say it, but it's hard to actually accomplish, isn't it? To actually, for us to take a step back, for it not always to be about us, for Him to increase and for us to decrease. You know, as I think about this and I think about the idea of sacrifice, last week we talked about the fact that there needs to be courage to sacrifice. And that courage comes from the Spirit working in us that gives us the courage to sacrifice and do the things that we need to do in order to magnify the Lord. And today we're going to talk about the beauty of sacrifice and how beautiful it is when we truly see sacrifice taking place. Now, some of you know that I'm actually a chaplain for the Palm Springs Police Department. And what a blessing that is. You know, I was out on Thursday with the police once again. I try to do it 2 days a month, various different shifts that they're on. And you talk about people that are willing to sacrifice, the police definitely are. Last month, on December 10th, I was able to take part in the blue light ceremony. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but this is a ceremony that is done at Christmas where you're encouraged to put up blue lights to remember the police that have given their all, who have sacrificed everything for other people. They've died in the line of duty. And at that service, we actually remembered every one of the police officers for all of Riverside County and all of those communities that have actually given their lives in the line of duty. You know, as you hear the stories of how these officers were killed, and we know just 2 years ago here in Palm Springs, we had two officers that also gave their lives in the line of duty. As you hear these stories, I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart. That's why I was led to actually become a chaplain for the police, because these people need support, because they are willing to step in during the most difficult situations. They are willing to sacrifice everything for the safety of others. And they actually live this motto of almost my life for your life. You know, every time I hear these stories, these real-life sacrificing stories where they put their life on the line for someone else, it's amazing that they are willing to do that. I mean, where do they get the courage to actually put their lives up for someone else? My life for yours. I mean, this is the essence of sacrifice, isn't it? I mean, that really is what it's all about. I mean, in this world where there's so much selfishness, there's so much corruption, there's so much violence, I mean, it's all around us. And in fact, if we're real, it's in us as well, too, right? I mean, the selfishness is in our hearts at times as well. The pettiness that we see around the world is in our hearts as well. I mean, you and I can be curved in on ourselves and become self-centered also. And it's amazing to see this kind of love. Love for people that they don't even know. Danny, if you can move it to the next slide, for some reason it's not moving. My life for yours is what we're talking about. My life for yours. Now, for those of you who've maybe grown up in the church, I think you probably know exactly what I'm heading towards here, right? It's a Christian story. You know where I'm going to go with this message. I mean, these stories that we hear in this world are actually sort of a shadow. There's a sacrificial things that we hear in this world that are a shadow of the biblical story of sacrifice that we know took place if you've grown up in the church. And if you haven't, that's okay, because I'll have that for you as we go through this today. That message will become clear on what we're talking about. The story of true sacrificial love of God, where God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to pay for our sins, to sacrifice everything. And I want to talk about how beautiful that sacrifice is. What really motivates and fuels us for sacrifice? What ignites the passion for us to be willing to live a life that is sacrificial, one that is my life for yours? One that is played out in our finances, in our service, in our lives as we live the love of Jesus each and every day. We're going to do this by continuing studying through Philippians chapter 2 today. So if you have your Bibles, hold them up. As I said, I encourage you to bring your Bibles every day. If it's your phone, you can hold that up too. That's okay. If you haven't brought your Bibles, we encourage you to do so each and every week. But if you don't have one, there's one right in front of you in the pew. We encourage you to pull that out and use that as we go through the message today, because I'm going to be focused on these verses pretty tightly here today. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible at all and you want one, the pew Bible that's right in front of you is yours. Take it home with you today. We'd love you to have it. So, Philippians chapter 2 is where we're starting. Last week, we talked earlier about Philippians, and there we heard what it really does. Takes courage to actually sacrifice. And today, we're going to go right into Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to hear the phrase of almost everything that's there is a diamond in the rough, you might say. Everything that you look at tells the story that we're talking about and is really great. And as you heard me say, this is one of my favorite books. But we're going to skip to actually verse 5 today. And we're going to start there. And here's what it reads. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Paul is telling us here is that if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, the idea is not just to be forgiven. It's not just to be accepted by Jesus either. I mean, that's all important, don't get me wrong. But God wants us to actually be transformed. He wants to transform us so that we actually have what? A mind which is yours in Christ Jesus. God wants to put the mind of Jesus in your life. That's what he's saying here. That he wants, through the Holy Spirit, to live in us, the Holy Spirit that's alive in us, he wants to put that mind in us. He wants to put the outlook of Jesus into us. How Jesus looks at the world, how he looks at the things in this world, how he looks at events in this world, and as he looks at people in this world, he wants us to have that same mind, not one that's different. He wants to put the mind of Jesus into you and me so that we start to act and live just a little bit more like Jesus each and every day. That we begin to feel a little bit more like Jesus each and every day. I mean, that's really what we call sanctification in the church, right? That big fancy theological word. that we become more sanctified, more holy, living a life more like Jesus. That is what we also call spiritual growth, and growth in the church also, is that we begin to have more of a mind of Jesus, and we begin to live a life that is more reflective of Him, so that what we said at the beginning, that people see Jesus through us, right? We are the lens through which Jesus is seen in this world, and through our mind changing and becoming more like His, people can see that more readily. And how does that all happen? How does that actually take place? Well, it happens in what Paul is going to tell us in the next verses, verses 6 through 8. So look at this. He starts off by saying, who, although he, and he's talking, Jesus is the one talking about Jesus here, was in the form of God. Paul says, Jesus was in the form of God. Now, when we hear the form of God, this is really important for us to understand. It doesn't mean that Jesus had outward form of God, although that's important, right? It doesn't mean that he was just some kind of form of glory of God. I mean, what we're getting at here is that he was 100% God. All of the glory of God was in him. And he was 100% God living in this world. That he was actually God in human flesh, as we've talked about before. I mean, the Greek word that is used here is one that really says it's the essence of something. It's almost the same thing as something. It really is saying that Jesus was fully God in human flesh, not just the junior varsity God. He was the true God, not just part of God, but fully God in this world. And that you may ask, then, how is that that God would act? How would God act in this world as Jesus? Well, we would expect that this God, if he was fully God, Jesus, had everything that God has, that he would be all-powerful, all-knowing, right? So if that's the case, then how would God act? Well, we think he'd probably act as if he had certain privileges and could do anything that he wanted, right? That when God says jump, that he would jump. That certain things would happen and certain powers would be there, and that he would have certain things that he'd be able to do and do, and that he would actually act in a way that we would expect God to act. But this is where the next phrase comes in here, the next verse. It says, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I mean, the word grasped is an amazing thing here. It suggests something that you're entitled to almost, to get something that you are privileged to, that you have certain things that you can have so you grab it and know that it's yours. It's almost like the idea from Nike where you just say, just do it, right? But Jesus did not act the way that we think God would normally act, just by grabbing all the privileges using the power that he has. And what did he do? Verse 7 tells us. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He emptied himself. I'm going to give my life for yours, is what it's saying. Again, what is God like? Well, the Bible tells us and says what God is like. The New Testament points us to Jesus and says, if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus. That's who God is. That's exactly what God is like. So what did he do? It says he emptied himself. Emptied himself. I don't know about you, but that really strikes me. That Jesus emptied himself. I mean, where do we use that kind of phrase in our world today? You know, watching my daughter play basketball recently, I see the girls out there playing on the court, and sometimes we use that phrase at the end of the game when we see how well someone's played. We say, boy, they gave everything. They emptied themselves there, didn't they? I mean, they're exhausted, and they gave everything. But here's the thing with Jesus. He didn't just pour himself out for one game or one match or one day. I mean, he poured himself out forever. He poured himself out for us. Once and for all, he emptied himself. And he did this by becoming what? The form of a servant. A servant who was going to be there in the likeness of man. He humbled himself enough to come in the form of a servant and a man to actually go forth and serve in this world. And what an amazing thing that is. Not just a human, but this God-man that is fully God and fully man. God was one of us. And he emptied himself, poured himself out, his life for us. And it goes on and says that Jesus was in the form of God, yes. And he shows who he really is, yes. And how does he do it? Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, for those of you I know who have heard this before, I'm sure you're sitting here going, Pastor, this is what we know. But do you really take this in? That it is his life for yours? That he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Yes, all the way to death, but not just any death. A death on a cross. I mean, this was no great place to die. There was no lower place in the world than on the cross and dying on the cross. That was the lowest place you could be. The cross and dying there was reserved for the rejected and for the rebels. It was reserved for those who were the lowest in society. The Romans were scared to death and horrified by this as well. The Jewish people, they didn't like it as well. Anybody who hung on the cross was cursed, they believed. And this is the form that God took for you and me. The lowest place possible. As a flawed human being, took our place. See, you and I are flawed human beings, aren't we? We're rebellious humans, we're broken humans. I mean, but you can't go any lower than where Jesus went for us. Jesus started at a high place in heaven, and he came down to the lowest place he could go, death on a cross, all for you and me. You can't go any lower for that. And therefore, what did God do? Well, it says, therefore, God has exalted him. I mean, this doesn't mean that God got a promotion. Doesn't mean that Jesus got some promotion by God the Father. Oh, he did such a good job that he's going to lift him up. No, it's not promotion, it's vindication. It's vindication saying that the Father's stamp of approval is on Jesus for what he did. That God overflows with self-giving love, my life for yours. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, let me pause just for a few minutes in here and interject something. Because I know that this church family here, there's probably a lot of you that are sitting here and you're in a season of sacrifice. Maybe you're going through a journey of sacrifice right now, one that's really deep and painful. Maybe it's caring for a child that's sick. Maybe it's that you're in a marriage that is just really struggling. Maybe that you've made the choice of following Jesus and people are treating you differently and it's costing you a lot. And they're saying, why are you that dumb? Maybe that you're struggling with your sexuality and you just don't know which direction to really go. See, the great thing is God knows what you're going through. And that if you're with Jesus, everything that happened in Jesus is going to be happening to you. That the sacrifice that Jesus went through we are called to that same sacrifice. But that we aren't left alone in it, that Jesus and his Spirit goes along with us, and that he promises that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will always be with us. And even though it may feel like that you are heading towards death, that you are dealing with a small crucifixion, maybe it's even though that you're walking in this that just doesn't seem that it'll end, that there will be a day of vindication just like there is with Jesus. That you will also walk through exaltation as well. And just as Jesus went low so that we could go high, you may have to go low so that one day you'll go high. See, there is victory in Jesus. No matter what it is that you're going through today, you will actually see vindication. And it may not be until the day of the resurrection, but you will be vindicated one day, no matter what you're going through today. And that is the promise of the gospel that we read here today. And it's all because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. And isn't that great to know that? And hopefully that little bit, it may just help you get through today and tomorrow and the next day. I mean, so that's the story. That's the gospel story that we live with. My life for years. So poured out for us in the scriptures and to see what Jesus has done. The point is that you would be inspired, yes, but that's not it. The point isn't just that you would be that it would move us today, although I hope that happens. But there's also a point of understanding that there's movement that comes out of this. That as we receive this from Jesus, that we're united with him as we're with him, and that we are caught up with him because of the Spirit that is alive in us, that we want to pour our lives for sacrifice for others because of the Spirit working in us, and we see what Jesus has done, and therefore we wish to live more like him, that we hope that the Spirit would build in us and transform us so that we can actually live our lives not just for ourselves, but for others that are all around us. And see, the application of what we've just read actually comes to us in verses 3 and 4 that I skipped over at the beginning. And it says this: do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition is what it says. Now, ambition is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. God's not saying here, Jesus isn't saying that ambition is bad. Okay, because ambition is what drives us for a lot of things. But God is saying that ambition that is selfish is what we need to shy away from. That's what we need to move away from, is any kind of selfish ambition that is in us. And for most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we are filled with selfish ambition. I know if I look to myself, I know there's selfish ambition in me. And I just ask for God and the Spirit to change that, where those areas tend to show up. But he says, do nothing out from selfish ambition. And that's because of who Christ is. And because of who we are in Christ as well. He says also, do nothing from conceit. And conceit is an interesting word, isn't it? This literally is a Greek word that means empty, the glory. You're empty of glory. That it's a craving that we all have to get glory one way or another, isn't there? That literally we're looking for some way to be affirmed, some way to have people tell us how great we are, some way we want glory in our lives, and we are famished for it. But unfortunately, that becomes almost a never-ending quest. That we are constantly seeking for glory some way or other. But he goes on to say, don't look not only to your own interests, he says. I love it because it assumes that we're going to look for our own interests. He says, don't, though, look not only to your own interests, knowing that you and I are going to look to our own interests because of the sinful condition that we're in, that we're going to look to our own interests. Because we're human beings, we have this need and this want to always be looking at our own interests and not be focused on the interests of others. But it says, don't just look at your own interests, but also make sure you start looking at the interests of others and that you actually put them ahead of you. You put them ahead of the line that's there for you. I mean, what interests that you see around this church, that you see around this community, are you not putting ahead of yourself? Who that needs to be served in this community are you not putting ahead of yourself? See, some of us I know are sitting here saying, I don't need this message. I don't need this. I definitely don't need to hear this. And you know what? It's amazing to think that we really don't need this. But here's some statistics I found this week, and I've got to read these to you because I think it's pretty interesting. They sort of went out and saw, okay, let's talk about selfishness, and what's very interesting is this. Is 71% of people surveyed think that millennials are really selfish. Now, everybody's beating up on millennials this day. Everywhere you go, people beat up on the millennials. And by the way, we at Our Saviors, we're not about that. We love millennials. If there's any millennials here, we love you. We want you here, okay? But this is the survey of what it says. It says 71% of people think millennials are really selfish. And everybody is beating up on them and leading them and saying they're the scapegoat of what's happening. But here's what I want you to hear. I believe that 100% of people are selfish. Right? Every one of us are selfish. I'll get to that more in just a minute, but here's what they said. 60% of people thought that other people have a problem with looking out for themselves first. 60%. Those same people surveyed said 70% of them have a problem being selfish. See, it doesn't surprise anybody that we act this way. But you know what? 100% of us are selfish. We all struggle with this. It's the human condition that we have in this world as we are bent in on ourselves. 100% of us struggle with this. But the amazing thing is the Spirit is alive in us. And He doesn't leave us there. The Spirit is alive in us to get us to understand that we put other interests first. Even though there's something I may want in this church, I don't fight for that. I put others' interests first. Even though there's things I could be spending my money on, I put other things first. Even though there are things that I could be doing, I put others first and serve them. And no matter who that person is, if I see they have a need, I'm willing to put them first and serve them first. See, truly, C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, if you meet a truly humble person, he will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. Amen. See, Jesus actually has freed us from humility. He's freed us so that we can actually be humble people because we are humble because of Jesus Christ and the Spirit living in us. And that what this whole message is created to do is to give us an awakening of a life of sacrifice. That all of us would be awakened to what this means for us. That we would be awakened to live my life for yours in this world that we live in. That we would put others first more than ourselves. And if you haven't started a journey with Christ yet, or maybe you've been on a journey with Christ for a long time, we all need to be awakened. And we pray that the work of the Spirit in us would awaken us to this reality, that we look to Jesus and who he is and what he has done, and therefore then we look at our lives and we go forth, being the lens through which people get to know who God is as we live my life for yours. And what the gospel wants us to end with today is truly knowing this. And would you read this with me? Thank you that you have saved me, that you have rescued me, that you have redeemed me, that you have awakened me. See, that's the prayer for today. That as we focus today on magnifying the Lord through this year of 2019, that it would truly be an awakening for you and me. That we would understand that what this truly means is that we live a life that is my life for yours, no matter who that is. That we live a life that is fully sacrificial, one that is giving everything and putting others first. And that we understand that we are free to sacrifice. And my prayer this morning is that all of us have a Holy Spirit awakening. That maybe the Lord is awakening you to a certain pattern, to a certain way of life, a certain area of your life that's gotten somewhat twisted, that has gotten sort of curved in on yourself, and now it's time for the Spirit to work to straighten that out. And so today, as we strive to live the love of Jesus, a life that is my life for yours, may the Spirit work to awaken you to a life of sacrifice so that more and more people can truly know who Jesus is and be counted among those who are in this family and know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. May the Spirit of God be with you. May he awaken your life to a life of service. And it is all to his glory, not ours. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Well, dear gracious Lord, we are just so thankful, Lord, for what you do for us. The Lord, as we hear this message of sacrifice, we just don't understand why you would do that for us. The Lord, even when we are in the midst of rebelling against you at times, Lord, you still love us more than anything we can imagine. But Lord, you still don't give up on us. The Lord, your Spirit still is alive in us and works in us. And Lord, encourages us to go forth in your name so that more and more people can know who you are. So Lord, today we are free to sacrifice and we understand that, Lord. And so Lord, as we go forth today, help us to truly listen to the Spirit in our lives and know that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And that, Lord, as we live the love of Jesus, we pray that more and more people could come to know you through us. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. You know, as part of this, as